Well, we're wrapping up the sermon series on our relationship with prayer as a collection of believers, as a collection, as a church, right? Prayer is more than just talking to God like an old buddy or demanding something from God or wishful thinking, hoping, you know, you throw up a wish, hoping, you know, in God's direction, hoping he'll hear you. No. Prayer is about participating, not just spectating. Well, part one, we looked at adoration. We gather at church to meet with God together, right? Prayer is calling on the name of the Lord. Adoration is reverent worship. It's demonstrated with outward acts and attitudes. It's answering the question, do we know who we're praying to? Do we really know who we're praying to? Adoration is a reminder of just how big and good and amazing our God is. We just sang about it. Part two, we looked at confession. As we reflect on God's holiness, our sinfulness naturally rises to the surface. As a church, we think, me too, I'm guilty, right? Leading us to confess those sins. As a community of believers that confesses sin together, it's a glad community because of God's faithfulness. It outshines the darkness of our sins. We're a growing community, motivating us to share with others this new freedom we found in Christ. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We want to share it with others. We're a more gracious community because of God's lavish grace on us. And as we confess our sins together, we're a grounded community, able to be real with God and real with others and to share a great testimony of God's goodness and God's grace in our own lives. Part three, last week we talked about Thanksgiving. Sometimes we live believing other people or God owe us something. But God has no obligation to do anything good for any of us. And just like the nation of Israel, who were so discouraged in their slavery in Egypt, they couldn't hear God's gracious words of deliverance for them. They were so discouraged. And we can be discouraged in our problems, and we can ask God, why me? Why is this happening to me? And we can respond in prayer to God's grace in three ways, right? The first one was, why me? And it's a discouraged heart, right? God, why have you forgotten about me? And the discouraged heart that believes that the giant problem is too big, or maybe there's a thought that it's everyone else's fault, blaming others or blaming God, and we have a discouraged heart. The second one was this, why me? An entitled heart, asking the question, God, why didn't you answer the prayers the way I wanted you to? Why didn't you do it my way? You owe me, God. I've been a Christian, a good Christian for a long time. I deserve better. But the clay has no say when it's in the hands of God the potter. God will shape and mold you the way he wants to, and me. The third why me is, why me? A humble heart. And this is asking the question, God, why have you been so good to me? I don't deserve anything from you. A humble heart realizes God's goodness, and the humble heart is growing in grace. Before I left for Poland and Israel, I stuffed my suitcase, and I had a carry-on, and I had a backpack. I took this one. So I left my backpack kind of empty, knowing that I'm going to be picking up some souvenirs for my family and bringing them back. So this was not as full. It's heavy. All right, believe me, I'm not just doing this on purpose, right? After checking my luggage at Tel Aviv airport for the return trip home, my backpack, this thing was full. Every zipper, every pocket had something that I would need, and it's maxed out, right? I had a laptop, my souvenirs, extra clothes, books. This thing was heavy. If someone were to be standing next to me and I'd go, hello, I would have knocked them over. Boarding, I couldn't wait. You know how the aisles are real narrow. I couldn't wait to unload the weight off my shoulders and my back. I got to my row, got to my seat, and put it in the overhead compartment and sat down. It was unloaded, right? And I I could rest for this 12-hour flight back home. You see, it may not have been an actual weighty backpack, but we've all carried something heavy on our shoulders. There's a complicated conflict between family or between a friend or between a neighbor, and the pressure is mounting and it weighs us down. Or maybe there's a financial situation that's pushing us down, causing anxiety, and it's causing stress. You know, there's a diagnosis or a health report that causes fear to grip our heart of the unknown, and the pressure builds, and it almost consumes us. And we can feel it physically, actually, on our shoulders and our neck and our back. Pain from hurts, pain from disappointments, pain from the world that we live in, and the mental and the emotional and the financial and the physical and even the spiritual weight bears down on us relentlessly. And if you're not there today, rejoice, but I'm sure you have been there in the past. And maybe some of us are there right now, feeling the weight and the pressure of a relationship or a health issue or some kind of insurmountable problem. And like that backpack, it's heavy. You feel it. After I landed at JFK in New York, I had to grab my heavy backpack once again, pull it from the compartment, put it back on my back, and walk the aisle, walk out of the plane. I had to literally shoulder the heavy burden until I was home. What if we could unburden our backpack of weight and not pick it up again? What can we do when we feel that pressure, that weight? Where do we turn when life is so overwhelming? Again, some of you are tracking with me because you are feeling something. It's not physically on your back, but you feel that pressure. And others of you are like, I'm good right now. Great, rejoice. But today's sermon title in this relationship with prayer series is on supplication. Supplication. Now, through the prayer of adoration, we ask, who are we talking to? Through the prayer of confession, we declare, me too, in our need of God's forgiveness and God's grace. And through the prayer of thanksgiving, we ask, why me? Why have you been so good to me? And through the prayer of supplication, it's allowing us to unburden ourselves to God. It's declaring, God, we need your help. That's what it's saying. God, we need your help. It's not really a word that we use often in our everyday English, right? But supplication, it means a petition, an expression of need. Another word that we could use for supplication is intercession or interceding. An intercession is praying and pleading with God on someone else's behalf. As you look in the Bible, there are prayers of supplication or prayers of intercession, examples in scriptures that we can learn from. Abraham is described as a friend of God. That's a great title. Three men, they visit Abraham and deliver a promise that Sarah will have a son. And as they are leaving, it says in Genesis 18, starting with verse 22, the two other men went on towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham for a while. Abraham approached him and said, will you destroy both innocent and guilty alike? Suppose you find 50 innocent people there within the city, will you destroy it and not spare it for their sake? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the innocent with the guilty. Why? You would be treating the innocent and the guilty exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge, capital J, judge of all the earth, do what is right? Verse 26, and the Lord replied, if I find 50 innocent people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake. Now, Abraham goes back and forth. I didn't read all of it, but he goes back and forth for the people of Sodom, getting the Lord down to 10, from 50 down to 10 righteous people, and the Lord won't destroy the city. Abraham was advocating. He was interceding for a people, not in his own family. He was offering prayers of supplication for people outside of God's promise. You take Moses. He was coming down the mountain with the Ten Commandments when he saw the people worshiping what? The golden calf. And filled with anger, right? Moses, filled with anger, he threw the stone tablets to the ground. He smashes them before the people. Exodus chapter 32. This is what he replied, starting with verse 30. The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a terrible sin, but I will return to the Lord on the mountain. Perhaps I will be able to obtain forgiveness for you." So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, these people have committed a terrible sin. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, please forgive their sin. And if not, then blot me out of the record you are keeping." Wow. Moses was saying to God, either forgive them for their sins or take me out of the picture as well. Take my name off of your book. Moses is standing before God on behalf of the people. You take Job. He was blameless. He was a man of complete integrity. He feared God and he stayed away from evil. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had many servants and he was the richest person in that entire area. And it says in Job chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, it says this: Every year when Job's sons had birthdays, they invited their brothers and sisters to join them for a celebration. Birthday parties, right? And on these occasions, they would get together to eat and drink. And when these celebrations ended, and sometimes they lasted several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular practice. Job interceded for his children on a regular basis. I know and I believe that a lot of us have a mom or a grandmother that prayed for us every day, right? The power of a praying mom. But Job was a praying dad, praying for his sons and his daughters, even offering sacrifices on their behalf. Job offered prayers of supplication for his family. Jesus was on trial before Pilate, who gave in to the angry crowd and had Jesus sentenced to death. It says in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, "Finally, they came to a place called the Skull. I was there 2 weeks ago. And all three were crucified there, Jesus on the center cross and the two criminals on either side. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they are doing.'" Jesus interceded for the people who were crucifying him. He was offering prayers of supplication for those who mocked him, who walked by and they spit upon him. You take Stephen, a man full of God's grace and full of God's power, performing amazing miracles of signs among the people. And there were some men that had lied about Stephen, claiming he blasphemed Moses. And he blasphemed God. So they had him arrested. And they brought him before the high council. So Stephen is addressing these religious leaders and he's telling them the story of the Israelites from the time of Abraham to Jacob to Joseph to Moses and then down to David. And they were filled with such rage at Stephen that they rushed at him and they dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. They would grab rocks and begin to throw it at him. And it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Stephen, dying, prays, intercedes, offers a prayer of supplication for those who were literally killing him. The prayer of supplication allows you to unburden yourself to God. God, we need your help. It's taking that weight off. Think about that for just a moment. God is inviting you to come to him to unload your heavy backpack of worry, of stress, of anxiety and fear, and give it to him. The prophet Nahum said this in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. God is glorified when you lean on him for strength in your troubles. When the winds and the waves of life are just overwhelming, God is good, and he's honored as you make him your refuge, as you go to him. Why? Because he cares about you. He cares about you. He knows you. You're not just a daughter of or a son of or so-and-so. He knows your name." Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them," while hanging on the cross. In John 17, Jesus interceded for his disciples and for you and me, "Father, protect them from the evil one." In that same chapter, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's praying for you. He's praying for his church, that we would be united as one. Know this today, Jesus is interceding for you to the Father. He's interceding for you. He is calling out your name to God on your behalf. Take comfort in that this morning. To whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through, Jesus is offering a prayer of supplication on your behalf. I'm going to take a wild guess here this morning that we all have needs. We all need God. Not only Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is also interceding for you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will." That's a lot of words right there. But God the Father, his heart, he hears what the Spirit is saying. And as the Spirit pleads, the Spirit intercedes, the Spirit is speaking to God on behalf of believers. The Holy Spirit shares in the ministry of intercession with Jesus by praying through you. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is praying through you. But the church also gets to share in this ministry of intercession. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." He goes on to say, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth." Paul is giving instructions about worship in this passage. In other words, God wants your worship to match your witness. Pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks to God for them. Pray for those in authority over you. Why? So you can live peaceful lives marked by godliness and dignity. That's why we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. Praying, interceding, prayers of supplication for others, it pleases God. I think that's what we desire, is to please the Lord. In a message on the ministry of intercession, Dr. Alan Tennyson, he explains what successful intercession requires. Faith. It's turning to God in simple, childlike faith. Faith to persevere even when life is challenging, even when life is difficult. Attention, to give attention to see those who are unseen by others. As the church, guard against seeing anyone as an enemy unworthy of prayer. Let me say that again. Guard against seeing anyone as an enemy unworthy of prayer. We are to pray for everyone. The world needs our attention. Time to be committed to prayer day in and day out, interceding for others. It's not about the amount of time, but it's staying focused. It's interceding for a certain cause or a certain for someone that's going through something. You're staying the course. Hope. Hope keeps you going. Hope teaches you to pray without ceasing. Hope helps you remember what God can do and what God will do. You have hope because you have Jesus. Thank you. You have hope because you have Jesus. That's it. That's all you need. Empathy. Empathy keeps you seeing the person for who they are. It's praying, God, this person needs help, as if it were you. Empathy fuels your prayer for them as if it were you or me that is in need. The last one is relationship. You can advocate. You can intercede for someone else because you have a relationship with God the Father. You are interceding for them to Him. You are going to God on their behalf, interceding for them. Many of you were praying and interceding for Jenna and her miracle. You were interceding for her. She didn't even know at times you were praying for her, but you were. And if you didn't notice, it spells out the word Father. When the church intercedes, there's an understanding of God's heart. God so loved the world, which keeps the church from condemnation. We don't look at the world and say, I condemn you, I condemn you, I condemn your sin. That's not God. God so loved the world. God cares and he loves this world. The church is called to love others as God loves them. And when the church intercedes, there's an understanding again of God's heart. The world needs God, which keeps the church from compromise. Compromise. We don't bend with the times. We don't adjust what the Word of God says because culture says so. We stand on the Word of God. We don't compromise. If the church prayed for the culture that we live in, our attitude would be different. The church must pray. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. The church needs to pray, to intercede, to pray prayers of supplication together. Our relationship with prayer, we come to meet with God together in prayer, adoration, confession, and prayer is calling on the name of the Lord together. Thanksgiving. Supplication. Supplication says, God, we need your help. The prayer of supplication, it allows us to unburden ourselves to God. God is inviting you and me to come to Him to unload our heavy backpacks of fear and stress and worry and sickness and to give it to Him. And if you haven't noticed, we have spelled the word A-C-T-S in this series. It's an easy way to remember when we come to God in prayer. Adoration. God, who am I speaking to today? Confession, right? We lift our head and our hearts to God of the impossible. As a church, through the prayer of confession, we declare, me too, in our need of God's grace and forgiveness, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all are in need of Jesus to save us from our sins. As a church, we through the prayer of thanksgiving, we ask, why me, God? Why have you been so good to me? Why have you given me grace? With humble hearts, we acknowledge and declare the goodness of God. It doesn't matter what we're going through at the time, God's faithfulness, God's amazing grace sustains us. You are amazing, right? And as a church, through the prayer of supplication, it allows us to unburden ourselves to God. We not only bring our individual needs to Him, but as a church, as a collection of believers, right, we bring what we need together. We as a church together can ask God for healing. Healing of bodies, healing of hearts, healing of minds, healing of marriages, healing of families, healing of relationships. In prayers of supplication, we can pray for prodigals to come home to Jesus. We pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to draw them to Himself. Together as a church, we offer prayers of supplication for unity, that we love one another, we pray for one another, we help one another, right? As a church, we pray together for revival, that hearts and lives would be holy as God is holy, to be rekindled with passion for the lost, to see and to love our world as God sees and loves the world. As a church, we can pray and intercede for our communities. Like Abraham, we need to pray that for people we don't even know. Like Moses, we need to pray for prayers of supplication for our nation. Like Job, we need to intercede for our family. Like Jesus and like Stephen, we need to pray for those who persecute us. We need to pray supplication. Let's bow our heads this morning.